Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp. Our mission and our vision here at Voice of Destiny is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to equip you to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. I want to remind each and every one of you that this is a unique day for you, a very special day that God has made for you to explore and to pursue and to achieve the greatness that God has placed upon your life. And we are very blessed. I'm here today to have as my guest, I'm Dr. Teresa Scott, the founder of Humble Time International Women's School of Ministry. I've known Prophet Scott for well over 25 years, and I've had a chance to observe the great anointing that flows through her life to bring the counsel of God. And we are entering into a conversation here on Voice of Destiny concerning preparation for the atmosphere of the new year. And I've invited Prophet Scott to come in and to talk with us about what it is that God has shown her about the things that we, citizens of the kingdom, need to be doing to prepare for the great responsibility that is yet before us in the new year. Welcome, Prophet Scott, to Voice of Destiny. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. It is such a privilege and an honor to be here with you and all of the listeners out there.
Praise God. Well, I got to tell you that we are a people of destiny and purpose. And one of the things that we understand from observing the scriptures and God's dealing in our lives, it's very important that we don't slide into the new year, but we decide into the new year. And we decide by establishing what it is God wants us to do. We've got to understand what it is that God wants us to do, and this is why preparation for the new year is so very important. What is it that the Lord has given you and showed the body of Christ, the things that we should do to prepare for deciding into the new year and not sliding?
Well, one of the main things that I've been praying about this when you contacted me, and I know we hear it year after year after year. We've been hearing it for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. But the Lord prominently reminded me that he's coming back soon, and sooner than what we think. Of course, we can see the signs of the times, you know, all the things that are coming to pass and transpiring, economy, global issues happening. Mm-hmm. And he said, just remind them that I'm coming back soon. Mm-hmm. And we got to live in a state of readiness to be able to meet the King. Mm-hmm. And our lives have to be conducive to that. We're in the kingdom of God. We're not in religion and all those other things. We have a king that we have to pay homage to and be subject to. And there are certain requirements that we have to do. So I don't know if he's going to come back in my lifetime or in the next generation's lifetime. I don't know. But all I know is that we all have to leave this earth in a state of readiness, whether it comes before or after. And we're not to lose sight of that. There's so many things that inundate us and so many things that come to preoccupy our minds just living from day to day. And we forget about that a lot. And he's coming back for his people. So we're going to be in eternity longer than we are here on this earth.
Well, you know, that's the difference in the mindset from traditional religious Christians to kingdom-centric Christians, and that is that we understand that our destiny, our calling is in the earth. So we're not in such a rush to get up out of here. And we must also, like you were talking about, operate under the time sensitivity that Jesus could be coming back any moment. A twinkle of the eye is what the scripture says. But one thing that we do know, that we only have one lifetime in this planet. And so we have to actually treat it with a high regard, a high time sensitivity. So going into the next year is very important that we go in with a soberness and a capacity to be and to do what God has called us to do. What have you been led of the Lord to do to get God's wisdom about the new year?
Well, I was just so excited about the topic, which is about strategies for preparing for the atmosphere of the new year, and that word strategies is really just stuck out. The kingdom of God is so simplistic. We make it complicated, but God has made things so easy for us to understand in this word, and we want to add so many other things to it, and we just can't take the simplicity of Christ. And so even in our day-to-day walk, which is going to prepare us for next year and all the strategies that we have to deal with, now the kingdom principles are going to always work. The giving, the sowing, the reaping, and all those things are going to work. But there are two sides of that coin. There is God, and then there's us. Now, he's going to do exactly what he said. Every promise of God is yea and amen. He's going to do all the things. We do it his way, it's going to get done. But now he's put the responsibility back into our laps. For us to do our part, and our part is to seek him. One of the things, it's quite a few, it's not a lot of things, but these are basic foundational things that we think, oh, I don't need to do that, I'm okay, you know, I'm going to make it in, you know, if I just do this and do that. But you got to realize, too, that God is concerned about you as a personal individual. How you maintain your individual self. You know, we're going to have to stand before him individually. There's not going to be a whole entourage of people around, no family or anything. And there's a work that he's given all of us to do. So one of the things is that we've got to bring closure to some personal issues. We serve a relational God. God is very key on how we relate to one another and how we interact. And as we interact with each other, we've got to be really true and honest. No more of this blame-shifting, you know, things that we do, or if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't have done that. You know, we got to take ownership of our choices, ownership of our decisions, how we respond to things. And so we've got to really deal with some unresolved relational issues, things that people have done to us. We can't control other people, but we can control and deal with our own responses to it. And the Bible tells us to live at peace with all men. You know, as much as lies within you, be at peace. Some people don't want to be at peace. And you got to make some decisions in this new year that there may be some relationships you may have to let go of, or there's some relationships that you need to state where you're going to be coming from and not continually open yourself up to all of the idiosyncrasies and the mediocre things that come that mean nothing. And so we got to say, look, I'm not going to continue in this drama, the conflict, all of this other stuff. I'm going to resolve to make peace, and if you don't want to be at peace, I'm going to have to go on.
Luke tells us in the sixth chapter, verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And what we learn from this, brothers and sisters, that in preparing for the new year, who we are tied to, through covenant love or through carnal hatred, helps to define who we are. Crossing over into the new year, we want to be in the full manifestation of the person that God has called us to be. So this is going to require each of us, Prophet Scott, as you were talking about, to make sure that the order of our lives are in place for the new year. And that requires of us to take an examination of our relationship with our brothers, our sisters, our spouses, our pastors, those people that are tied to us, and those people that are help defining us by reason of the very relationship that we have with them. We want to take inventory and make that bedrock number one, that we begin to examine and prepare ourselves to cross over into the new year to make sure that those years are right. We are talking today, brothers and sisters, about preparing for the atmosphere of the new year. In order for us to do that, we must hear the word of the Lord and align ourselves with that which is of kingdom. We'll be right back after this destiny break.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at YICenter.com. That's YICenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. Our guest today is Dr. Teresa Scott, the founder of Humble Time International Women's School of Ministry, a prophet of God, a teacher unto the body of Christ. And we've been discussing, Prophet Scott, about the things that we need to do to prepare for the atmosphere of the new year. And you established one of the first things, and that is that we need to get relationships right. Our relationship with God, which is our horizontal, our vertical relationship, and then our horizontal relationships, they do really affect our ability to move into what God has assigned and spoken to us about. What steps can we make, Prophet Scott, to make those relationships right?
Well, one of the another thing we can also do is live a life that is uncompromising, being true to ourselves and true to God, being the real people that we need to be, because there's so much that causes us to want to live a counterfeit life or a compromised life. I'm reminded of in the book of Daniel, the first chapter, when Daniel and the other guys were caught in captivity, held in captivity. And it said that Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and the wine. But the part that I want to bring out is that he resolved not to defile himself. And so there's so many things that pull us in different directions in the world that we're really going to have to create and walk our own chalk line. There has to be a resolve in us in this upcoming year to really these are people that God called us to be, that we don't compromise our walk with God, because God is going to take care of us. We're going to have many challenges coming up in 2014, but I believe that 2013 has prepared us for what is coming in 2014. It's going to be one of our best years, but it's going to come with challenges, and it's going to come with us being true to ourselves. And if we're going to be people of God, then that needs to be seen. It needs to be manifested. And so we've got to make decisions of not to be defiled with so many of the worldly compromises that come our way.
So we're talking about us, along with building redemptive relationships, we have to stand up in an integrity that matches God's laws. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6 chapter to seek first. This is Jesus' word. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, and this requires us to pursue right relationship with God. And I have a joke with my son, my youngest son. He gets up every morning and he says, "Mom, I love you." And then he says, "Oh, Dad, I love you too." Okay? And I respond to him, I said, "Prove it." Because I already got proof that I'm number two. Prove it. And, you know, God wants proof of our righteousness. He wants proof. You know, faith without works is dead. And so when we talk about, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, God knows me. God knows my heart." Yeah, he knows sometimes my heart is wicked. That's why our behavior is wicked. And so God wants us to seek alignment, which is one of the first principles of consecrating to God, you know, is seek alignment. You know, seek repentance, you know, which is a change of mind, you know. And this was Jesus' message of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And in order for us to walk in kingdom, it's going to require mind change, thought change, the way we believe about things, in order for us to really walk in kingdom. Because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, you know. And a lot of times what we think is right, God calls it wrong. And that is what makes it sin. It's not sin is not sinful because it's icky and bad. It's sinful because God says do something at this level, and we do something below that level. The word for sin in the Greek is harmatia. You know, it is a missing of the mark, and it's very important that we, as the saints, begin to learn to tap into what it is that is right before God. What is it the Heavenly Father wants us to accomplish in the counsel of His will? We seek to know what is right before God, because a lot of times what's right to us, prophet, it's wrong to God. You know,
that's
what's
true.
Right to our culture is wrong to God. You know, what is right to our government could be wrong to God. And so we have to really pursue, as you were talking about, the character route to allow God to change us and to develop us into the vessels that he wants us to be. And this takes the grace of God. It takes us exerting our willpower, but willpower is not always enough to overcome the wrongs in life. We need the grace of God that helps us to overcome and to walk in the way that God wants us. So what have you found, a prophet essential to helping people to change their patterns? Because a lot of times we are the way we are because we've been doing this for years. How do we move into that change? How do we chalk out our course and get in alignment with God?
Well, you're hitting it right on target here to stop on the broadcast, because there are so many things that we've got to change our minds about. It all starts up in that head of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Changing, because we've been in society, we have our different cultures, as you mentioned, and we've
mm-hmm.
got to be open enough to want to change. I mean, we're in the
mm-hmm.
kingdom now, okay, kingdom,
mm-hmm.
not in just church. We're in a whole
mm-hmm.
different dimension,
mm-hmm.
a whole new way of living. We can't
mm-hmm.
go by what we feel and taste and touch. We got to go by what we know and what God has said. And
mm-hmm.
so a lot of times when we have these things that come up in our lives, we find ourselves being in a very weak state. We don't know how
mm-hmm.
to handle it. But I'm reminded of what he told Paul about that thorn that he had in his flesh. He said, "My grace is sufficient."
Mm-hmm.
And we got to embrace the grace of God in our weak areas. It's okay to tell God, "I don't know what to do." And actually, it's okay to tell other people, "I don't know what to do."
Mm-hmm.
If we really want that change and walk in that mindset and that authority and all those great kingdom things that God has bestowed upon us, we've
mm-hmm.
got to realize that my way is the weak way. What
mm-hmm.
I used to do is the weak way. That, you know, it's not getting it. Yes, we
mm-hmm.
may have, you know, been wheeling and dealing all those great things, but now I'm dependent on God for this. God,
mm-hmm.
help me to think the right way. Change my thought patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Help me
mm-hmm.
to perceive things different. Help me to interact with people different.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that we've been teaching in the kingdom also, too, Dr. Hopp, is that, you know, you just speak it, you decree it, and you declare it. Well, that is good to
mm-hmm.
a certain extent, but if we don't
yeah.
submit to God to know what to decree and to declare, those
mm-hmm.
are just words just going out in the atmosphere, and they're not landing
mm-hmm.
anywhere. And
mm-hmm.
so we've got to ask him, God, show me what I need to do, because everybody's situation is different. We're
mm-hmm.
in this economic time right now where nothing is stable.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is stable
mm-hmm.
but God.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to really overcome all of that, we've got to get the mindset of God. We've got to get
mm-hmm.
The wisdom from God, the knowledge from God. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I used to do it this way, and it used
mm-hmm.
to work. And now we're finding out those things don't work anymore. So
mm-hmm.
so what do we do? We say, God, I need you to download into my mind. Give me the wisdom. Show me how. And also that takes us being able to embrace new things.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention also about embracing the technology, embracing,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, insight into how to do
mm-hmm.
different things. Because
yeah.
some reason or another, we think we know everything, but we know nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we've never been this way before.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes God downloading all of that to us. Another
mm-hmm.
thing is that we got to change our default. We have a
mm-hmm.
way of always going back to the same thing again. And it's
mm-hmm.
just like when you're on the computer and you're typing up something and it has a specific default that you go to, and sometimes you got to go in and change the font type. Well,
mm-hmm.
that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to change our default. We can't keep going back to the same thing. It has to be a change there. And
mm-hmm.
God has given us what we need to do to change, but he said his grace is sufficient. And
yes.
he has what it takes for us to make it through difficult times, to make it through times when you've done everything, you're standing, you're doing all these great things, and now what do I do, God? Your
mm.
grace is going to get me through this. You know,
mm.
we're in this world,
mm.
but we're not of this world. Things
yeah.
are tight out there in the world. We're going to feel that. We're going to feel it. And so we're
yeah.
going to need the grace of God to get us through it. And and I know that God just wants to just show off in his people. He really does. But it's
yeah.
going to be shown in our weakness. He says he is strong where we are weak.
Yeah, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. We've
mm-hmm.
been talking about preparing for the atmosphere of the new year. And we are the royal priest that God has invested in the earth to show forth his praise. And so we need to tap into these strategies about how to decide into our new year and not to slide. We'll be right back after this Destiny Break.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture. We are we have our guest, Dr. Teresa Scott, an anointed prophetic teacher of God who has been used of the Lord to bring people out of mediocrity into excellence, to walk in the integrity of God's will and plan for their life. And we've been talking, Prophet Scott, about the importance of deciding into the new year and not sliding, because we are people of responsibilities. Our lives are attached to other people. You know, what we do not only affects us, but it affects our children, it affects our members of our congregations, it affects the people that are in our communities, because we are the salt of the earth. How do we come into a sense of responsibility that we need to know God's will for our new year, not just because of ourselves, but because of those that yet we're responsible to minister to and that we're responsible for being examples to?
Well, one of the things is that we've got to be, as I mentioned before, being true to yourself and true to God, being a person mm-hmm. of integrity. And also we've got to mm-hmm. consider that our lives are on display. Everyone
yes.
looks at us. They're looking at the people of God. You know, we say all of these things, but they're looking, does your God really exist? Does he really make a difference? Mm-hmm. You know, you're telling me that God loves me. You're saying all these great and wonderful things, but has he really made a difference in your life? And mm-hmm. and he has. He really has, but we need to display that. One of the things also, Dr. Hopp, is that we've got to behave ourselves wisely in the world. Mm-hmm. Our actions speak louder than our words. We are a living epistle in the earth, and people read us more than anything else. And so if we say we're going to be this and do that, we've got to be a people of our word, and we've got to do that. Another thing, one of the strategies for preparing for this upcoming year, and this is going to be a phenomenal year for the people of God, but we have to do it God's way. No more perversion, no more hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. We're going to be the real deal. We're going to be the real thing in the earth. We're going to walk in power and a demonstration mm-hmm. of all of that, but that's going to cost us something. Mm-hmm. We talk about the economic things that are going on in the earth, and I so thank God for how you bring that out, kingdom principles in the economy mm-hmm. and all of the mm-hmm. strategies, the people that you have on your broadcast that gives mm-hmm. us great insight. But when you mm-hmm. think of this economic thing, we're going to have to come into some discipline.
Yeah.
Society teaches us whatever you want, get it. You know, I'll mm-hmm. give you a credit card. You don't even have to work. You mm-hmm. just get all this stuff with nothing attached to it. If you can just make a payment, mm-hmm. you can get whatever you want. And that's not mm-hmm. what we do in the kingdom. That's completely
yeah.
different.
Yeah.
We've got to have better stewardship over what God has already given us.
Yeah.
There's got to be much more discipline. We mm-hmm. also have to realize that we need to invest in things that are profitable. Many of us have enough. We have enough to make it. We're not naked. We have clothes. We have transportation. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want more for us, but we've got to learn how to be content at some point.
Well, we've got to think beyond ourselves. You know, we have to
yeah.
understand this privilege comes along with a tremendous amount of responsibility, but especially us Western Christians, you know, we are so disconnected from the suffering of the saints on the other part of the world that our pennies are dollars to them. No, our pennies are hundreds of dollars to them, and that we can invest a little amount of our time and our talent and our treasure to change the other parts of the world, knowing that in the laws of God, the seed time and harvest, what we sow, what we become to other people, God is free to become that to us at a multiplied level. And so we must begin to get a target for manifesting in this world in a way that will bring us the kind of harvest for kingdom purposes. You see, the opulence, the favor, the influence, the power, the dominion that God has given us, he gave it all to us for the purpose of serving. Jesus said if we're going to be great in his kingdom, we've got to be the servants of all. And it's very important that we do get marching orders about what it is that God wants us to do to change the world. See, a lot of us, we get so obsessed with our life and our growth and our prosperity that we get in the way of God being God to us. We get in the way of God being God to us, and as a result of that, God is not able to do the job because somebody else is doing it. And they're not even doing as good a job as he would. And so I believe God wants us to come into understanding about what is Heavenly Father's assignment for me, because I'm a kingdom citizen. Everything that I have does not belong to me. It belongs to the king. So what is it that the king wants me to do with the time, the talent, the treasure, the favor, the opulence, the influence, the wisdom, the insight, the training he's given me? What does he want me to do with it so that I can make sure that I'm being honorable before the Lord? You know, when I think about the story about the talent, the one fellow who had more, you know, the one fellow who was doing nothing, he had all the complaining, he had all the false expectations of God, and he wasn't employing what God had given him. And I think that's very important, that a lot of times we look at what we don't have instead of looking at what we do have to walk in the fullness of what God wants us to do and wants us to accomplish. So when we're coming up to the end of the show, Prophet Scott, and I want you to give me your best strategies, you know, your best strategies for people preparing for the atmosphere that we have not covered. What are some of the things that we really need to make sure that we get it and that we walk in so that we can have some walk-away steps from this conversation?
Well, we have discussed quite a few things, but I want people to, again, to realize that God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have exactly what you need in order to make it. And also that God is requiring some things from you that only you can do. He wants you to be more transparent in the earth. He wants you to show forth his glory in the earth. Another thing that you even brought out, Dr. Hobb, is that we've got to display these things and be what God called us to be. I want to encourage the people out there to know that God has gifted you, that you have abilities that the earth is waiting for. We need to see that. Walk upright with God. Be true to him and true to yourself. And God says, as we mentioned, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else is going to be added. Let's get right with God. As old folks say, let's get right, church, and let's go home. Get your house in order. And when we do those things, God is going to do his part. He's going to do exactly what he says. But let's be true to him so he can manifest his glory in our lives.
Well, Prophet Scott, I want to thank you for being with us. We're going to ask you to stay for one more show so that we can continue to talk about these kingdom strategies for preparing for the atmosphere of the new year. For those of you that would like to get a hold of Dr. Scott, founder of the Humble Time International Women's School of Ministry, you can reach her at humbletime.org. She is also the co-pastor of Growing in Grace Christian Center. You guys, what part of Virginia are you guys located in?
No, we're in Maryland. We're in
Maryland. That's right.
Eastern Shore of Maryland in Delmar, Maryland. And our website is GIGWC.com. That's Grow in Grace Worship Center, GIGWC.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, we thank you for joining us again today. We pray that God accomplish his mission to equip you to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. Remember, the Voice of Destiny show is available to you 24/7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. We want to pray for you, so please email us at info@voiceofdestiny.org so that we can be praying for you as you're preparing to cross over into the new year. Remember, today is a great day because this is the the day the Lord has made for you. God bless.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Hopp. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
That was a blessing, Scott. That's a blessing. I'm
praise God.
God. Amen. God is good.
I pray that somebody was encouraged. You know, there's so many different avenues we could have gone into, but I don't know. God was just dealing with me about just keep it basic, simple, and foundational. All those other things fall in line. We can build on that, but just don't forget that, you know, those foundational things. And we're going to have a good year next year.
Yeah, I believe that. Are you ready to go to the next show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be excellent impartation. Praise God. So we're going to get started right away. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. All right.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp. We are here today having a conversation with Prophet Teresa Scott, Dr. Teresa Scott, founder of Umbutami International Women's School of Ministry, about preparing for the atmosphere of the new year. The Bible teaches us that we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are called to show forth the praises of God because there are many people that lack the witness of Christ. Without your witness, without you fully maturing and being and doing and having everything that God has designed for you to have, there will be people that will be without a witness. And so today we want to talk about the important responsibility of preparing for the new year. We live in two worlds. We live in a natural world that everybody can see, hear, smell, and taste, but we also live in a prophetic and a spiritual world that is not easily detected by the natural man. The Bible tells us that God knows the thoughts he has concerning us, thoughts to bless us and not to harm us, thoughts to give us a hope and an expected end. There is a plan that God has for us, a plan that is born out of his good intentions towards us, plans that are born out of his grace towards us. And so today I've asked Prophet Scott to come with us on a journey of conversation about how do we decide into 2014 and not slide into 2014, because we are people of calling and people of purpose. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man, those things that God has prepared for us that love him. But how is it that we're able to detect what is it the will of God, what is the plan of God, what is the intention of God for us is essential as we're preparing for the atmosphere of the new year. And I want to welcome you, Prophet Scott, back to Voice of Destiny Show, and I want to get your insights about what is it that we the saints can do to detect the will and the purpose of God so that we can decide into the new year and not slide into the new year.
Well, I'm just so grateful to be here again, and this wonderful opportunity to be able to share with the listening audience some of the things that God is really looking and expecting from us in 2014. We are always expecting God to do something, but now God is kind of flipping the script on us, and he's expecting more out of us. He said he's finished. He's done everything that he was going to do, and he wants us now to step into what he has purposed for us to do. One of the things, and I'm so thankful for the topic that you have on strategies for preparing for the atmosphere of the new year, and again, it deals with our mindset, but one of the other strategies is for us to mature, to grow up. Hebrews, the sixth chapter, it talks about laying aside the elementary things and going on into perfection, going on into those things that will cause us to be the mature people of God. We've got to continue to grow and to be developed. The Holy Spirit comes in our lives to conform us into the image of Christ Jesus, and we've got to stop fighting the conformity. And this upcoming year, I want us to really think about just letting go and letting God. Allow Him to perfect those things that concern us. We are to leave elementary things of Christ. We should already know about repentance and forgiveness and all of those things, and He wants us to build up on it. Sometimes we hear messages over and over again, and it's like falling on deaf ears, but God wants us to take hold of what He says and truly grasp that word and walk in it in some maturity. We need to lay aside the sin and the waste, all those things that so easily beset us. And we need to go on in God. We can't change the past. We can't continue to live in the past. Yes, there have been past hurts and offenses and all those, you know, detrimental things that we had to live through, but God got us through it. And so He wants us to continue to go on in that. It was meant to make us better and not bitter. Also comes to mind is that the teachings on, again, on tithing and offerings and study, prayer and fasting, these are things that we just don't relegate to our initial coming into the kingdom. This is an ongoing thing that we have to do. There should be regular seasons and times of fasting, regular seasons and times of prayer and study of the word, and even in worship, not just relegating it to a conference or just coming to church on midweek Bible study or Sunday service, but that should be a lifestyle for us. So one of the another strategy is for us to enhance our kingdom lifestyle all the more, that we don't get so preoccupied with the things of the world and all of our other responsibilities that we forget that we have to stay connected with God, and that's our lifeline to Him.
Well, it's very important that we understand that repentance of dead works are really essential, that we know what's dead. And one of the things that we as kingdom citizens got to be aware of is sometimes God can give us a word that becomes obsolete. Everything that God wants us to do has to happen under a unique time and season, or it will not produce that which God wants to do. There is a law and order to the purposes and the plans of God. And so what I have found is that I really have to really examine everything. I have put everything on the table and say, Lord, what is your will? You know, Dr. Watchman Nee talked about the thing in hand, that a lot of times we are prevented from entering into the will of God because we have so many things in our hand. And God is talking about this one thing. And because the other stuff that's in our hand, we can't do the one thing that God wants us to do. So we must begin to come into a repentance of dead works, which includes separating ourselves and turning away from moral sin. But also, God gives us commissions that we must fulfill in our lives as an individual or as a people. It is a very good time for us to examine what those things are, you know, so that we can begin to repent of whatever's hindering us from entering into the fullness of what God wants us to do. And one of the things that concerns me is, Prophet Scott, if you could talk about it, is understanding the times and seasons. The Bible talks about the tribe of Issachar. You know, they understood times and seasons. Does understanding the time and seasons of our new year is important for us for implementation and execution of our vision? If we can understand the impact that a time and a season has on us doing the will of God, what can we do to line ourselves up with the times and seasons? Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yes. Another thing that is so basic and simple that we need just to wake up and look at what's going on around us. Look at the news. Look at your communities. Look at the schools. Look at things going on in your family. Look at those things and seek. It's almost like stepping outside the box of our lives and looking at what is really going on, not from this I don't know, just this fog perception that we have, and mm-hmm. we don't want to, mm-hmm. you know, really pay attention to what's happening. But look mm-hmm. at these things. Look at how your children are growing up. Look how fast information is getting to them at such young ages. I didn't have all mm-hmm. this stuff when I was coming up, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you didn't
yeah.
either. But
no,
I mean, it's coming
no.
hard and fast. The mm-hmm. curriculum in the schools are changing. They're calling teaching the kids to be more analytical than ever. They just
mm-hmm.
don't make one and one two. You got to know why one and one is two. You know, it's all
mm-hmm.
of those things. And so we look at this and we see things changing. We
mm-hmm.
see it changing. We see it evolving. We see it going into different directions. And so as these
mm-hmm.
outward things are changing, you got to know that things spiritually are changing. Changing
mm-hmm.
in our lives, the relationships that we had in even having now here in this latter part of 2013, I know for many of the listeners out there, God has been dealing with you in relationships, that you
yeah.
need to change that. You need to let that go. You need to
mm-hmm.
change your circle of people. You need to come
mm-hmm.
out from that. And there were years when I used to figure that, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing forever. I'm going to be with these people
mm-hmm.
forever. And then
yeah.
God started
yeah.
changing things, and he changed me, and I stayed in it too long. Stayed
mm-hmm.
on jobs too long, and he made
mm-hmm.
it difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
The grace
mm-hmm.
to be able to handle it literally lifted, and it was almost
yeah.
like things just turned against me. And it wasn't the devil. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
any of that. God said,
mm-hmm.
your time is up. You need to go on. And for many of those who are listening out there today, God
mm-hmm.
is telling you that it's time for you to go on. You're trying
mm-hmm.
to keep something, hold on to it when God
mm-hmm.
has left. He is lifted up and gone, and you're still trying to make it happen because you don't want to really trust him. You want to
mm-hmm.
make sure that, you know, it's going to work out your way. And God said
mm-hmm.
he has a better way. I mean, we live
mm-hmm.
a life of faith. He said, how can we please him without faith? It's impossible to do it. So you're not going
to
always see the whole thing.
Well, we're talking about preparing for the atmosphere
mm-hmm.
of the new year. It's very important, brothers and sisters, that we decide into the new year and that we don't slide into the new year. Because we are people of purpose, we've got to observe the law and order of God by honoring times and seasons. We'll be right back after this destiny.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Voice of Destiny show. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. I want to remind you that these conversations are available to you 24/7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. And today our guest is Dr. Teresa Scott, founder of Humble Times International Women's School of Ministry. And we've been talking about strategies for deciding into the new year and not sliding into the new year. And Prophet Scott, you, one of the themes of what you've been talking about is the importance of being brilliant in the basics, being brilliant in the basics. And a lot of times we as the saints, we're not as successful in our years because we don't excel at the basics. We want to a lot of times get drawn away with the new fad. What is the new fad
mm-hmm.
in the now? But what are some of the basic things that brings about success to those of us that are hearing and walking in the things that are of God? And one of the things I want to talk about that I found to be very affecting is praying, you know, prayer. You know, what does the role of prayer have for us deciding into the new year and not sliding into the new year?
That is just that's our lifeline right there. That's constant communication
mm-hmm.
with God that keeps us connected with him, connected with his will and his way. That's how we get to know him as we fellowship with him in prayer. Is that, that communication line that that keeps us going, that we can hear him and he hears us. God knows all the things that go on in our lives, and he makes a way for us to come to him. He says, you know, not to be anxious about anything, but with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And even as you give your request to God, God can also give back to you the strategy, the way, and that these prayers are going to be answered. You may very well be the one who's going to be the answer to your own prayer, or he may, you know, give you wisdom as to how to do it or what have you. But, you know, I'm finding, Dr. Hopp, that prayer, a lot of people don't enter into it as much as we really should because it takes discipline. It calls for pulling in
and
your
energy.
Mind. Yes, it makes you be still in this world of everything that is microwave and fast-moving. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the things of God, we have to be still. It's that still, small voice. He says, be still and know that I am God. Know that I am right here. Know that I am going to direct you in the way you need to go. Know that I'm going to instill and release the favor in your life to get specific things done. But that prayer, it takes on a discipline, so it keeps that connecting link with us and God. He said, pray without ceasing. You don't have to, you know, fall on your knees every moment and pray. It's a prayer in your heart. You know, Lord, give me the wisdom for this, or is this right, or is that not right? You even mentioned something earlier about discerning the times and so forth. Lord, is this the time for me to do this, or is this the time for me to do that? And so it's really training ourselves to be spiritual-minded in prayer, not just in our everyday walk, but even in listening to God, to the things that he has to say to us.
Well, it's important that we understand, as saints, that prayer isn't simply asking for a bunch of stuff. Dr. Miles Monroe says that prayer gives God license to interfere with earth's affairs. God needs us to pray not because it makes him real, but because it gives him legal license to interfere in our affairs and in this world system, because God is a lawgiver. The devil is an outlaw. And so God observes protocols of acting and moving and operating in the earth based on the context of the laws that he set up. And so God needs ambassadors. That's why God needed Jesus to come. He needed a representative in the earth. God needs us to represent the earth and our culture and our people and our family and our circumstances with a legal advocate. God needs us to be an advocate for others, but God also needs us to be a witness. Prayer needs to be thought of as a medium of communications. Like when we first started getting the internet, we thought, oh man, all I can do, I can send a letter to somebody. And we know that the internet is useful so much more than sending emails. And this is what we got to understand about prayer. The prayer is God's instrument. It's an earthly product that affects heaven. And when we look through the counsel of God's word, we see that the saints have used prayer to change outcomes, to change circumstances, to bring provision where there is lack, to bring wisdom where there is foolishness, to bring direction where there is no direction. Prayer has a capacity to bring about an incredible amount of change. And so we've got to begin to say, hey, you know, prayer is a product that I can produce. God can produce answers, but I can produce prayer. I can do that. You know, when I know God, I can do that, and I can use that to change the world. This is why the Bible says that the prayers of the saints availeth much. We have a great impact on our power of prayer when we're making declarations, when we're binding, when we're loosening, when we're making legislative arguments in the heavenlies against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. We've got to understand that prayer becomes essential for preparing the soil and the atmosphere of the new year. And so this is something that we need to begin to tap and discipline ourselves in. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, look, guys, can you not pray with me 1 hour? You know, prayer has a power, has an ability to manifest physical equivalents from things that are in the spirit realm. And so we have to realize prayer becomes so very important for us and through us to accomplish our destiny in the new year that we're coming into. Well, you're about to say something on Prophet?
Yeah, I wanted to just put a little footnote to the prayer. That when we pray, prayer is a calming effect for us as individuals. It does not only do all those great things that you just spoke of, and I'm telling you that that was right on point. But I've been in situations where I didn't know what to do, how to do it. I mean, just totally overwhelmed. Couldn't even get the words to say. Couldn't even pray in tongues. But just sitting in this posture of prayer, there was this, I knew that I was coming into the presence of God, which literally calmed me down and allowed me to be able to even think clearer. You know, didn't even get a word up, but just knowing that I have access to God in prayer, where I can just come to him, just come, not even saying anything. And it was the peace of God that just overtook me in prayer that got me to a place, okay, it's going to be okay. I didn't get a direct word from God, but I had that sense of knowing that it's going to be okay. I can handle this. We can get through this. We can do these things. And so that helps us in our challenges that comes, and then you don't give place to the devil for him to just totally stress you out and overwhelm you and render you useless in a situation when we're supposed to be more than conquerors. Yet the prayer has so many benefits to it that I'm telling you, like I said, it's a lifeline. It is a lifeline.
Well, one of the strategies of the adversary is to traumatize us with trials, tests, and circumstances to cut off our communications. When we are faced with difficulties, there is an element of that that makes us not want to talk, not want us want to make us not communicate with God, because the devil knows once we start talking to God, crying out to God, God responds to that. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture, and I want to come back after this destiny break and talk about the power of worship. We've talked about prayer, but what does worship do to help prepare for the atmosphere of the new year? But here in Revelation 8, chapter verse 3, it says, "Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the Lord." So he was giving the incense, which was a type of worship, and then he had the communications of the saints, the prayers of the saints. These are things that he brought. And it says in verse 4, "The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel." Angel's hand. So our prayers and our worship becomes product material that the angels can take to Heavenly Father to get authorization to act on the earth. And it says here in verse 5, "Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and all this stuff happened on the earth." So our praise and our worship are products that we send to heaven, and heaven sends a response back to us in the landscape of our lives and our everyday experience that we need to talk about. This is why prayer becomes essential for breaking up and preparing the atmosphere of the new year, but also worship becomes very, very, very essential to us preparing the movement of God in our lives. We'll be right back after this destiny break. We're talking about deciding into the new year and not sliding into the new year.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and bold, by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Voice of Destiny Show, a conversation on kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. We are here for you 24-7, praying for you, but also the Voice of Destiny broadcast is available to you 24-7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. Our guest today is Prophet Teresa Scott, Dr. Scott, who was the founder of the Humble Times International Women's School of Ministry, and we've been talking about preparing strategies for preparing for the atmosphere of the new year. And one of the things that we talked about was prayer, but what does the role of worship, what does the role of worship play in preparation for the new year?
God, I tell you, worship just invokes God. It invokes his presence. It is our connecting link. It is, I can't even almost put it into words, but as we worship God for who he is, not so much for what we want him to do, but just just concentrating on the worth of God. What is the worth of God to us? It's going to be different for everybody. But as we worship, we connect with him, and that is an area where the adversary really can't do anything about. He can't touch that worship part. The praise is good. You know, we do all that outer court thing. But when you really hone in and you worship God for who he is, that that connects you and him, that, that just puts everything else aside, and it's just like honing in the spirit. You're locking in with God in your worship, and that's between you and him, and the things that he imparts into us, and even what we give to him, it can't be touched. It is a spiritual connection that is so strong that it's almost like, I don't know, breathing your first breath when you wake up in the morning. It is a vital asset that we all have to have, that connecting link as we worship God. We give him worth. There have been times when I have worshiped God and I've lost sight of everything, I mean, even in 911 situations, by the time I finish giving God his worth, his telling him how much I love him, appreciate him, what he means to me, it makes everything so, I don't know, little. It just minimizes everything, and he becomes bigger. As we worship him, we bring him on the scene, and he gets bigger in our situations.
Yeah. Well, worship has a way of right-sizing our situation and causing a situation to realize how small it really is in contrast to how big God is. And so it becomes very essential to your devotional life, but also your atmosphere. That I try to flood my atmosphere with the worship of God, by awe of God, so that I can always recognize that he is omniscient, he's omnipotent. You know, he is capable of handling any difficulty, trial, test, or question that I have before us. But what I really love about worship is that it brings us into the atmosphere of our origin. We come from heaven. Amen.
Yes,
and when we are in
does.
Our natural origin, our natural atmosphere, we are stronger. Just like the fish is stronger when it's in water than when it's out, we are stronger. Just like the bird is stronger in the air than it is on the ground, we are stronger when we're in the atmosphere of God, the presence of God, that we are able to access through worship. And so it becomes very essential that we think of, as we are deciding into the new year and not sliding, is what can we do with worship and prayer and rightness of alignment to build a prophetic equivalent of our new year in the now. We are able to do this because everything happens in the realm of times and seasons. And God has given us Jesus, amen, who is the Lord of times and seasons.
Yes.
And through worship, being in awe of him, we can right-size our new year to bring it into conformity to God's authority. We do this through worship, and I love what you were talking about, how when we make God big, when we make making God big, it's really important, because a lot of times the devil's conversations with us, the devil's marketing towards us, is to make God as small as possible.
It is true. He does.
Absolutely. and when we think God is small, we think, wow, our faith begins to be triggered to the smallness of God and not the bigness of God. And our faith, you know, fear is faith too. It's just in the negative. Fear is the negative.
In the negative. Yes, it is.
And so when we begin to worship him, you know, this brings us into a platform where we can really begin to access our rights and our privileges before the king when we worship him. That's when we can access it. So tell me, what is it that that you understand about worship that you think a lot of the saints don't know about worship, so that we can grow up in him in that area?
Well, in worship, not only do we see the greatness of God and the bigness of God and the awesomeness of God, but we also, in worship, we see who we are. We see ourselves in a different aspect, because now we come into Godness. It's probably not a good word, but we come into that Godness, that atmosphere. Yeah. And as we come into that, then we begin to see ourselves different, that I'm not this little defeated person. I'm not just, you know, barely making it. I'm not stressed out. I'm not having to make all these decisions and stuff. I see myself different. I see myself the way he sees me. And then when we begin, as we worship God, we realize that God, you know, it's just a good place here to be and worship, because you're showing me. When I look at him, mm-hmm. I see me. I see myself. I see who mm-hmm. he really made me to be, his original intent in my life, knowing mm-hmm. that I have some gifts and abilities, and I got resources within me that make me this tremendous person that he created in the very beginning. So you lose sight of that negative side of you, and you begin to see the real you through him in worship, because when you come in contact with God, things change. Yeah, everybody in that Bible, every time they had an encounter with God, their lives mm-hmm. changed. And he always mm-hmm. talked about their purpose. He never talked about where they were and all this other stuff and how bad it is and yada, yada, yada. He always brought mm-hmm. them back to his original intent in their lives. Mm-hmm. So worship causes you to see you as well as God. And I'm telling you, that's a tremendous exchange right there.
So we've loaded you up, Saints, with a lot of strategies to begin to decide into your new year and not to just slide into your new year. Know that God has a plan for you. For many are the plans of man, but it's the purpose of God that will prevail. Let's line ourselves up with God's purpose as we cross over into the atmosphere of the new year by taking these principles that we have discussed here and putting them into play. I want to thank you. I'm Dr. Teresa Scott, prophet of God, teacher to the body of Christ, founder of the Humble Time International Women's School of Ministry, for joining us here today. For those of you that would like to get in contact with her, you can visit her website at humbletime.com, or, of course, as always, at voiceofdestiny.org, where we'll have Dr. Scott's resources and locations available for you guys to connect with her. Thank you, Prophet Teresa, for being such a blessing to the Commonwealth of the Church, and thank you for helping us to bring the gospel of Jesus Kingdom culture to the world. God bless you. And Saints, have a great one. Remember, today is a great day, because this is the day the Lord has absolutely made for you.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
God bless you, Dr. Scott. I'll call you later
Thank
on today.
Thank you very much. Oh, it was just a privilege and an honor for you to even consider me having me on your program.
You.
And it's just,
thank you.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. God bless.
You
I have
keep
a
up,
guest
you keep
about
up the good work, too.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to call you later on this afternoon. You are a real blessing. Have a great one.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Barbara. God bless you. How you doing?
Good morning.
God bless you. I saw you in, but I couldn't come out of the studio to talk to you.
I'm excited. I put it on mute. I just put it on mute. Just waited.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Well, I thank God for you. You are such a blessing, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you, okay? Amen.
Okay.
You want to start with prayer, and then I'll agree with you, and we'll start the show in a few moments.
Okay. You want me to pray now or when we get on
yeah,
the air?
Yeah, I want you to pray now and ask God to bless the show and to give us direction.
Father Lord, I just thank you right now, God, that we are entering into that place in you, God, that Lord, that you are drawing us. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this time of creating that atmosphere, Father, that goes out through the airwaves, goes out through this internet system, Father, for people to hear and to understand how much you love us, God, and how you are drawing us into this place even deeper, Father, revealing yourself as Father, as that one that loves us with an everlasting love. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for blessing this time. I thank you, Father, for your son. I thank you, Father, for you've given him the vision and the opportunity and the resources, Father, to bring forth so many different aspects of who you are, Father, because you are just amazing. Father, there's so much more that we need to know and understand about you. So, Lord, we
thank you,
God,
Lord,
that you are revealing yourself in this hour to us in a greater measure.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we humble ourselves under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in this conversation. There are so many people that have need of being activated, so many people that have need of being saved, so many people that have need of the word of the Lord to be in their mouths and in their ears, saying, this is the way, walking in it. I ask that you would give us the grace to bring the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to those that will be listening to this show. Give us increased favor on the north coast, the northern borders, the southern borders, the east coast and the west coast, in the Midwest of our city and the globe, that people may know that Jesus is God and King. He is our High King. Thank you for your kingdom come and your will being done, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go right on into the show, Barbara. Okay. One second.
Okay. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny, or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Daniel Hopped. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. We are presently having a conversation on Voice of Destiny about preparing for the atmosphere of the new year. And in order to do that, our strategy is to make sure that we do not slide into our new year, but we decide into our new year. We decide based on the reason and the full counsel of God's purposes and plans for our lives. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah that God knows the thoughts that he has concerning us, thoughts to bless us, not to harm us, thoughts to give us a hope and an expected end. This is God's true purpose for us, that we will be able to walk into our new year with a grace and a confidence that God is with us and that we're operating out of a license of what God has ordained for us. To help us to move into this atmosphere, I've asked an atmosphere artist, an anointed prophetic gift and teacher and dancer, Barbara Hall, to come and share with us what it is that God has put in her heart concerning us preparing for the atmosphere of the new year. And Barbara, I would love for you, we've been friends for a number of years, but I would love for you to share your story. What is the story that God has given you that has brought you to this place where you are in the kingdom of God?
Well, it's an amazing story, actually. I didn't come to know the Lord until I was older. I wasn't in my youth, even though I was totally in love with Jesus. I know when I was 4 years old, but I grew up in the Catholic Church, and they didn't even emphasize anything about a relationship with the Lord, relationship with Jesus. And so, you struggle through those places and you look and you're looking for him and you're looking for that love. You're looking to fill that emptiness inside of you. And so I came through all of these places. And I know even at 4 years old, my mother had me in dance class. And they said, she'll never be a ballerina. And so they took me out. They said, she can't come. So I loved to dance. You know, I just really loved to dance, and I would dance in my room. I would practice. I had the radio, and music was all around me. And so I came to the Lord shortly after my son passed away in an accident, and I came into this place, and he just covered me. And I'm not saying it was an easy walk, and it still isn't very, it's learning and just really understanding and undoing all the things of the world from us in order to come into the kingdom of God and understanding his strange ways. And so it wasn't until 1999 that the Lord spoke to me and said, you can put your ballet shoes on now. I didn't understand. Okay, so I went out and got ballet shoes. And I said, what they do? But the anointing was on me. He had been talking to me about coming into his garden and walking with him. And so I began to dance, and I began to just search out those people that could teach me and what it was and how to worship the Lord. And in 2004, I had a dance ministry, and he gave us the name Flames of Fire. And so we have, danced throughout the nation's capital where I live in D.C., with conferences, different churches. I graduated through the Eagles Network. I'm a minister of dance. I teach the biblical foundations of the Word, you know, in the Old and the New Testament. There's so much in there that we have never even seen or searched through. Many of the Hebrew words we look at, it doesn't say dance, but it says rejoice, which means to leap, you know, and to twirl and to spin around. And so you learn all these things in order to bring forth what is in you, who lives in you, that worshiping place of drawing others into him because you have a new understanding of who he is and what he wants to reveal.
Wow, wow. This is incredible to hear your story so that we can understand that dance and worship become so important to preparing the atmosphere for the new year. What is it that you feel that dance serves as an instrument of and worship serves as an instrument of for us to walk in the roles of priesthood and leadership God's called us as believers as we're crossing over?
Well, you mentioned priesthood. We really do need to understand the Old Testament and what the priests were. I mean, the priests were men of God that were purified and cleansed. I mean, it was only the high priest that could enter the Holy of Holies, that could go into that place. And, you know, the atonement of the sins, you know, only came once a year when sacrifices were made. But it's the true priesthood that we are entering into now under Jesus Christ because of the cross. He is our high priest. And so knowing the biblical foundations of the priesthood, we can enter into this place knowing that we are those that must have clean hands and a pure heart. And worship isn't just all about movement and dance. Worship is about obedience. Worship is about submitting ourselves to the Lord. It's about coming into that secret place and dwelling with him, listening to him, following what he is saying to us. You know, in a corporate setting, we come on Sundays, we worship, we praise. Different churches are different in how they bring that forth. But in the midst of all of that, that's a corporate setting where the presence of a living God, he wants to bring in the Shekinah glory. And it takes our devotion and that preparation each and every day to walk with him, to sit with him, to wait upon him, because we can't bring forth what is not in us. And so it's about the intimacy and the relationship with the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that
I was going to say that, you know, one thing that I've noticed about the ministry of worship and dance that I've seen you and your troops operate in is that it begins to reveal the spirit behind the why, the spirit and the why behind we do what we do. And that this is something, I know a lot of us, we dance before the Lord in church, but is that something you actually do in your devotional life? Like we pray and we read the Bible and we sing songs before the Lord, but do you actually get up and dance, do something physical and dance in your devotional life?
Absolutely, because dance can be used as a form of intercession. It's our worship. You can come and you can come bowing before the Lord. And you don't have to know how to dance to do that. You know, I come sometimes under, I make these prayer shawls. They're for the bride of Christ. And you come under and you bring that place in that place of his tabernacle, tabernacling with him. And you've got some music, you know, worship music. You know, we really need to soak in that place before we even engage with him, just in that silence. And then coming up and worship him in the dance, because the Lord is glorified. It is it's coming before his throne. And how can you enter his presence without bowing down before him?
Well, we are the body. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it is in that place that we enter into his presence with reverence. You know, it's that spirit of the fear of the Lord that comes and adoring him. He's the only one that's worthy of all adoration and praise.
Well, I often think that dance is an equivalent of the bride batting her eyes at the king, the groom. You know, when my wife bats her eyes at me, man, that sends a message to me. You know, and I'm thinking too, you know, as you know, when we look at the paradigm of us, the church, being the bride to the groom, when we dance before the Lord, that has to be the equivalent of us batting our eye at him and letting him know that we belong to him and no one else. We are his property, you know. His name is on us. And I think this moves God. And I think that we, part of preparing to go into the new year, that we have to let God know that we belong to him so that he can include us in his plans. And so I think this is really essential for us as the saints, that we begin to look at what strategies. And some, a lot of us haven't even thought about adding dance to our personal devotional life. You know, like some of us say, well, I'm going to pray for 60 minutes. I'm going to worship for 20 minutes, you know, I'm going to read my Bible for an hour, but how much time will we do dance before the Lord? We know that David understood that it was an opener, and I would like to talk about that as we come from this Destiny Break, about how worship and dance is a door opener for what it is that we want to enter into. Because when we as saints understand from Scripture and from the prophetic what this means to God, we can be able to employ it to accomplish the grace and the purposes of God in the things that we're called to do. And so let's take a Destiny Break right here. And when we come back, Barbara, let's talk about the door-opening possibilities of worship and dance for us as saints deciding into the new year. We'll be right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and bold, by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, saints. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture. God does have plans for you in the new year, and this is why we are advocating to you, our beloved brothers and sisters, to not just slide into your new year, but to decide into your new year. And we have been talking about incredible strategies that we, the saints, have within our resources to employ to make sure that our new year is what it is that God has called it to be. And we started off talking about the power of worship, and we were talking about the expression of worship through dance. Barbara, your leadership in raising up these dance troops have really, I've seen such an anointing of God be released in the atmosphere. Tell us about what are the possibilities for us in our personal devotional life to exercise worship and to exercise dance, and how will it open up doors for us in God's realm to manifest his will, his plan, his purposes for us?
Well, first of all, we have to look at our bodies as beings. You know, we're not just a physical body. We're spiritual beings, and God is spirit. And so he says that we should worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he desires that truth, that wisdom, to come from our inner parts. And so from the depths of us, we have this desire to worship. And this is what God has instilled within us. Our bodies are the language of heaven. So when we move and express ourselves, even lifting up our hands, we are expressing that adoration for him. And so as we move even with our feet, you know, people sing in the shower. You know, we can come into our own place, our living rooms, our bedrooms, and just stand up and begin to lift up our hands before him to acknowledge his presence is here, stepping in, using our feet, and we said we step into his presence.
And
Lord just begins to cover us.
Now, what are some of the biblical models?
Hmm?
What are some of the biblical models of this using dance to change the atmosphere and to prepare the way? What are some of the models that we look at?
Well, I'm going to say to you, in the beginning, the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the earth. There was movement. And I believe he danced over the deep. There was movement that took place before the word was released. That created that. As Mary, we can look at Mary. There was 400 years of silence that no one heard a prophetic word about Messiah that had been prophesied for so many years. And Mary, this young virgin who was pure, God came and visited her. But Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He hovered over her. He danced over her. And she brought forth the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Wow.
But
wow.
She came and submitted herself into his presence and allowed him to take over her spirit, soul, and body. So
wow,
that was
incredible.
A place of devotion, of worship.
Mm. And didn't Miriam, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, dance before the Lord?
The very first place that we hear worship, when they came through, it was a celebration with the tambourines, and Miriam, who was the sister of Moses, began to celebrate because they had been released from slavery. Their enemy had been totally washed away in the midst of the Red Sea, and they came over there, and she began to dance with the tambourine. And so that is the very first mention of dance in the Bible. And
now,
so we can move.
Now, I'm seeing right now, all over the body of Christ, something in heaven happening. Because people in their devotional life will be reading their Bible, they'll be praying, they'll worship, and then they're going to get up and they're going to dance on their feet. And somebody may say, well, look, I'm not a good dancer. Well, you know what? You don't have to be a good singer to worship. You know?
Yes.
It is the intent behind your work that you do that expresses your faith and your trust and your devotion to God. And I'm seeing saints, male and female, all over starting to bat their eyes to God, you know, through the dance. And I believe this is going to be very instrumental as we begin to walk in this anointing of worship and dance. So let's talk about the door opening. You know, how, you know, the door opening. I think I heard you say the worship opens the door. Talk to me about that. How is this worship and this dance door for what it is that God wants to move me into?
Well, this is the year of the door. You know, with a 5774, the Hebrew year, coming in, and we're entering in 2014. It is the year of the door, and I believe that the Lord stands in the doorway. He is that way, and he makes the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that doorway is already covered in the blood of the Lord because he gave his life. He shed his blood for us. And as we enter in, into that doorway, we step into him. And into that presence. He says that we carry his presence inside of us. He lives inside of us. We carry the Ark of the Covenant in us. And so as we enter into him through this doorway that he is opening for us, who leads to many other doors, it opens that place because we are acknowledging that he is the only one, that we live and move and have our being in him.
Wow.
And that is our...
Wow.
Place that we have to recognize that we were created from him. His very essence of life was breathed into us. And so as he lives in us, we live in him.
Wow.
And we have in deep presence, and he opens doors. It says the key of David was he opens doors that no man can close. He closes the doors that no man can open. So we can close all the doors behind us to step into the destiny of what God has called us coming into this new year. And I believe that the Lord just wants to show himself magnificently. We have been waiting and waiting for this time, waiting for the restoration of the things that God has promised us. And this is the year that we can enter in through that doorway into him, into the realm to bring heaven to earth, and to have his kingdom be established here on earth as it is in heaven.
Well, saints, we are talking about preparing for the atmosphere of the new year. And we've been listening to this prophetic atmosphere artist, this dancer, this prophetic gift of God about deciding into the new year and not sliding into the new year by employing the powerful instrumentality of worship and dance. We realize from this conversation in the Word of God that the dance is an equivalent of the bride batting her eyes at her groom. And I believe this will move move Jesus as we are preparing to move into the new year, to get his cadence and to get his plans and his purposes for our lives as we're moving into the new year. I know for myself, I'm going to begin to employ this in my devotional life more than I have before, because I often have an orientation of this is something that I do at church, not at home in my private devotions. But God does have a plan for us, and he's given us these tools to utilize his kingdom principles to build the kind of year that he has ordained for us. We're going to take a destiny break right here, and we'll be right back. And I want to talk about, Barbara, about the importance of employing prayer and fasting in our preparation for the new year. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Brothers and sisters, if you just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm talking with the atmosphere artist, prophetic gift, Barbara Hall, who is anointed of God to lead the body of Christ into dance and to lead us into the atmosphere of God. And we've been talking about strategies for deciding into our new year and not sliding into our new year. We are people of purpose. The scripture tells us that many are the plans of man, but it's the purpose of God that will prevail. And Barbara, I want to ask you, as a person that's called by God to wear a mantle that opens up the atmosphere of the heavens to the saints and to the world, how has prayer and fasting played a role in you exercising the worship and the dance that God has called us to?
Well, I believe that when the Lord calls us into a place that we want to pursue and find out just exactly where he is leading us, it takes that sacrifice of, you know, of removing ourselves. I've been on many fasts, but my first 40-day fast was just completely juiced. And I, you know, we know that Jesus was called into the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he entered the ministry, and that the Lord had called him into. So it's that time that's being set aside, and the Lord would give you the directions. It could be 10 days. It could be 5 days. You could do a Daniel fast. There's all kinds of different ways. But the Lord will guide and lead you into that place. And it really, in times of fasting, is setting our lives and our schedules down to pursue him. It's not going after things and getting God to change his mind about us. It's really to find out what God has destined for us, even before the foundations of the earth. He knew us. He brought us forth in our mother's womb for a purpose.
Well, I think it's very important that we, the saints, understand that prayer gives God license to interfere with earth's affairs, but fasting is a sacrifice that we observe in Scripture that triggers the movement of God in our life, in our landscape, to change things. And the Second Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people would humble themselves, which was an Old Testament way of saying fasting, if my people would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will then hear from heaven, and then I will heal their land. There is a heavenly response to earthly sacrifice. And this is really important that we all begin to come into the integrity of these precepts. I know for myself that many of the great things of God has been historically traced to a time of fasting and prayer in which God has called me to. I tell the story, you know, in my book on Fasting for Destiny that I got hooked on fasting because the Lord had called me on a three-week time of prayer and fasting. No agenda except to know the Lord and to seek him. And it was during that time the Lord had given me a vision for the woman that was supposed to be my wife. And it was in that time that I had to make a decision, not to slide into my destiny, but to decide. Because even though God had made a way for me, I began to discover that fasting and prayer was so important, because I have a lot of arguments in my mind about not being what God's called me to be, do, and have. I talk myself out of stuff. Because of circumstances, because of people, because of money, because of information and contacts. I say, well, I don't have enough of those things. But when I began to fast and pray, it makes me hypersensitive to the voice of God and the clarity of God. And I think for me that it's an essential behavior of the saints. It's an act of intimacy. Because when I fell in love with my wife, man, I got lovesick. I didn't even want to eat some of the time. And when we're in love with the Lord, we get to a place of high intimacy with the Lord. It will take our appetite away. God won't even necessarily have to say don't eat. We'll just be so full of him that we won't want anything but him. And so it becomes very important that we as the saints understand that one of the biblical patterns for preparing for new seasons, new times, new atmosphere, new things, was that the saints, they actually turned over the plate and sought the face of God. And so you had said that you've done 40-day fast before. And we know that it's not the length of the fast, it's the leading. But what are some of the practical things? And I really love, this is an area that I've really always been fascinated because of it. It's played such a great role in my life. What are some of the practical things that saints need to think about in terms of approaching God in the fast?
Well, first of all, you need to prepare yourself for the fast and prepare your body that it's not going to be receiving the food that it normally is. Mm-hmm. So you begin to prepare yourself just as you're preparing yourself to meet him. And so even in that place, you know, you've got to have wisdom and to know that your body, but as I said before, Lord, God is spirit, and we want to speak to him and hear from him spirit to spirit. And so mm-hmm. that is that place where we're denying our flesh. I mean, we hear these things, and I remember going through a fast, and I could hear my body screaming out, I want to eat, you know, but it was that denying place, preparing and to rest in between, you know, to seek him. But most of all, it is seeking him because he said, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. So he feeds us, just as Elijah was fed by the ravens before he went in to that 40-day fast. The angels come and contend to us, to strengthen us, just as they did with Jesus when he was on the earth. God will strengthen us, but it is in that place of setting our time and our agenda to pursue the one that's pursuing us.
Well, I got to tell you. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, God is actually looking for people that would truly worship him in spirit and in truth. And fasting allows you to disconnect from the natural and to integrate into the prophetic, into the spiritual, which allows us to take our rightful place in heavenly places, to exercise our authority, our privileges as a son and a daughter of God in these days that we're living in. And so with this in mind, I want to encourage us, the saints, to take of these truths that we've learned today through this conversation with Barbara Hall, to move into intimacy with God through worship, but also through dance, and also through fasting. I think putting these three things together will be a powerful tool in establishing our platform and our dominion for the new year. It's been great having you, Barbara. I want to ask if you can stay for one more show so we can continue to talk about preparation strategies for the new year, because it's through the wisdom of God that we're going to be able to prepare and to be able to accomplish the things that God's put in us. The Bible tells us that the wisdom of God is worthy of her children, and so when we talk about these wisdom strategies, we're going to find that our life is going to go to a new dimension and a new quality and a new dimension as we begin to apply these things that we've learned today. Thank you, saints, for tuning in. Remember that today is a great day because this is the day the Lord has made for you. You can access this conversation 24/7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. And I want to thank Barbara again for joining us. You guys can connect with Barbara on Facebook. And Barbara, how can they connect with you on Facebook, by the way?
Oh, my name is Barbara Baker Hall. And you can get to the website. You can see I also have some products, Essence of Myrrh, where I have these beautiful prayer shawls that are under Grace. And so you can get in contact with me that way. Just leave me a note and or message me, and I'd be more than happy to get in touch with you and give you my number or give you my email address. But that's a good place to reach me, Barbara Baker Hall.
Well, God bless you, saints. Remember, today is a great day because this is the day the Lord has made for you.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
God bless. Barb, we're going to go right into the next show because of time. It was a great presentation. Well, we're going to transition, okay? All right.
Okay.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. This is your very first time. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp. And my guest today is Barbara Hall, a prophetic teacher, dancer, and atmosphere artist that helps the saints to be equipped to facilitate God's presence and God's purposes in our lives to accomplish the fullness of what he has in store for us. This is very important that we begin to realize that the strategies of God are available to us to accomplish what it is that God wants us to be, do, and have.